There's a Moedika story in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, "Vayihi ha'om kimisoinim." Klal Yisrael, they're taking their first trip, and they were like complainers. Ra ba'oznei Hashem. They were bad in the ears of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shalom heard their complaints. Vayichar apoy, and the Rebbeinu Shalom got angry. Vatibra bom eish Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shalom brought a tremendous fire. Vatoichal b'ktzei amachna, and he ate them up in the camp. A moridika maisa that happens in the parasha, where Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says, were complainers, and it brought down a terrible magefa. But the pasuk is very mekatzer. The pasuk doesn't really say what they were complaining about. The Torah just says they were complainers. So Rashi and all the Rishonim address the details. Rashi says, Omru, they were saying, Oy lonu, woe is to us, kamo lovatnu baderech hazeh, how much tircha, toil and pain we're having in this trip. Shloisha yomim shloinachnu me'ine adarech, we're traveling already 3 days and we don't get a rest. In those days, travel in the desert wasn't like traveling in a car today with air conditioning. And therefore they were complaining. 3 days of travel with no rest. Rashbam says, it is similar to Rashi, mitzarim mitoyrech haderech, they were in pain from the difficulty of the trip. The Ramban says a little differently. The Ramban says, hayu mitzarim ba'atzmam lemar, they were in pain in themselves, saying, ma naseh, what are we going to do? Ech nichye b'midbar hazeh, how are we possibly going to live in a desert? Ma noichol ma nishte, what are we going to be eating? What are we going to be drinking? Ech nizbol ha'omol v'inui, how are we going to be able to tolerate this difficult trip of going through a desert? Mosai neitzim medu, where are we going to come out from it? Mitzar al atzmoi, it was a pain that they were having in themselves. Nothing really specific that actually happened in the trip, but it was all more the worries and concern of how could we survive. So this is how the Rishonim explain the pasuk that they bring out the story that they were misoinim, they were complainers. And the shaila is, how do we understand, based on these Rishonim, how do we understand what was the taina on Klal Yisrael? They seem to have a valid concern, a valid complaint, of 3 days of a difficult trip. I'm sure in those days, traveling in the desert for 3 days was hard. And like the Ramban, that they had worries about what are they going to eat and drink, sounds also very valid. There was reason to moan and complain, to be a misoining. So why was that a taina on Klal Yisrael that brought a terrible magefa and a fire that the Vayichar Apoy, the Rebbeinu Shalom, was upset at them? Why is Hashem upset? What was wrong? What did they do wrong? How do you understand the story? And the truth is, if you look at the end of the Ramban seems to go ahead and explain the taina. But that also seems difficult. The Ramban says, "V'hoyo ra be'ine Hashem." The reason why this story of the misoinim was bad in Hashem's eyes, "Shehoyo lahem loleches achrav b'simcho v'tuv leivav me'roiv kol toiva she'nosam lahem." The taina, the reason why it was bad in Hashem's eyes, was because they should have followed along with Hashem with such joy and happiness from all the good that Hashem is giving them. The Haim, and they, on the other hand, they were misoinim umisramim alinyonim. They were busy complaining about the situation. But what does this mean? The taina on them was they should have been happy with all the gifts that Hashem is giving them. How does that cancel out for the troubles and difficulties that they are having? Right now, presently, they're having some troubles. Right now, presently, there are things that are difficult. So what does it mean that they should go besimcha v'tuv leiv for the good things they have? One thing doesn't cancel out the next. So why should there be a taina that we're besigning them? In a similar vein, we can ask on the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam in the end of Hilchas Lulav, where the Rambam talks about this inyan of Simcha. He says, "Avapi shekol hamoyados mitzvah l'smoyach behem." Every yontif, you have a mitzvah to have Simcha. B'samachta b'chagecha. However, zok the Rambam b'chag asukos. In the Yontav of Sukkot, HaYisham B'Mikdash Simcha Yisera, there was an added mitzvah of being B'Simcha. And like the Rambam continues and says that they used to make a Simcha space HaShe'eva, which was a Gevaldika Simcha that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah LaHarbois B'Simcha Zu was a tremendous mitzvah to be marbe in that Simcha. And then the Rambam ends off with something incredible. And this is what's very difficult that we have to ask on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, HaSimcha SheYismach Odom. The Simcha that a person has, Basiyas HaMitzvah, when he's doing his mitzvah and he's living life, the Simcha that you have, Avoido G'doylohi. It's a tremendous Avoido. If you hold yourself back from having the simcha, it's something that's punishable. The whole toicha came in exchange, tachas, and they didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. Which means the Rambam's bringing out that the inyan of simcha, living your life with happiness, is so important that if chas v'shalom, you're not a happy person, that's what brought the toichacha. Even if Klal Yisrael was doing the Torah mitzvahs, if it's not with happiness and joy, that brings the toichacha. And the Rambam says, having simcha is avoida gedoyim. Now what does that mean? It's a tremendous avoida to have simcha? If I would just have everything I need, I will be b'simcha. What does that mean? It's avoda. It's a job and work to have simcha? I would think simcha is about a feeling of happiness and joy in life. It has to do with my situation. And if I would have the things I need, then of course I'll be b'simcha. It's not avoda. What avoda? It's work. What's work? All the other people I look at, they're probably all happy because they have everything they need. If I would get everything I need, I would also be happy. Where's the avoda gedolah of simcha the Rambam is talking about? Why is simcha something that's called an avoda? What work? The answer to all these horrors and understanding the whole story of our parasha of the Misayinim is a very fundamental yisoid that most people make a mistake about. Most people think happiness, simcha, is dependent on your circumstance. Having the things I need, being in the place that I desire to be, and all the other details of my life, we think that will determine my happiness. Yet, we find in the Pasuk, in Tehillim and Perek Tezayin by David HaMelech, the opposite of that. David HaMelech says, And we all know David HaMelech had a very hard life. You go through all the stories of David HaMelech's life, extreme challenges, extreme troubles and difficulties and suffering. And David HaMelech says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid, I place Hashem before me always. Kimimini balemoit, for my right side, he never leaves. Lochain, therefore, somach libi. Therefore, I have gevaldika simcha. Therefore, you have gevaldika simcha? Why would that give you simcha? If you're having troubles, and you have suffering and challenges, so that doesn't cancel out all your issues. Simcha, I thought, comes from a circumstance. Simcha comes from having the right setup in life. If everything's good, then I'll be happy. And here I see in the pasuk, it's not like that. David HaMelech says, if I place Hashem before me, therefore I'm happy. What does that mean? We see from this pasuk in Tehillim, simcha has nothing to do with your situation. Nothing at all. Not even 1% of your situation is going to be the reason why you have simcha or don't have simcha. You could be as wealthy as Elon Musk or Donald Trump and still not have simcha. Happiness does not come from your situation. Rather, simcha, happiness, is a decision that you're going to make. It's a choice. If you decide that you want simcha, if you make that decision, then you could be zeicha to live with happiness. And that's where simcha comes from. People who are happy, it's not at all because of what they have. And the reality is, the people that have a lot, and they're very into what they have, they're usually the unhappy people. And the reason is very simple. Olam hazeh, this world, is made with that nature of yesh lecha mana reitza masayim. When you have one mana, you want two. People who have their first million aren't happy because they want the next million. And when they get the 2 million, they want the 4 million. And there's no end to what you're going to want. You know, people live their life when they're in high school. I see it by my kids a lot. Let's say, you know, you're in elementary school. When I get to high school, I get to the Sifta, I'll be happy. I can't wait. Just finish elementary school, just get to high school. I'll be happy then. I get to the Sifta. When I get to Beis Medrash, that type of life, for sure I'll be happy. They get to Beis Medrash. You know, when I go to Eretz Yisrael, that's when I'm going to be happy. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, when I go ahead and come back to BMG, and get married, then I'm going to be happy. Let me find my Shidduch. I'll be happy once I find my Shidduch. When I get married and have children, oh, for sure, then I'll be happy. And still, it doesn't happen. You know, when I go to work and I get a job, oh, then I'm going to be happy. And still, no happiness. Oh, when I buy a house, and then I finally settle down, I get a house, I own my own property, I'll be happy. And they go through the entire life, and they don't find their happiness. People who think that happiness is going to come from a different situation never find happiness, because happiness doesn't come from a situation and a circumstance. Happiness is a choice. In your situation, you could choose happiness. It's a decision you make. That's the secret of simcha. Sefer Orcha Tzadikim, entire sefer that talks about midas hanhagas. He has a shar called Shar HaSimcha. The ninth shar is the midah of simcha, and it has nothing to do with your situation, of what you have, or where you are. Rather, like he says clearly, he starts the shahr. Hasimcha hamida hazois bo la'odam. This mida comes to a person. Machmas roiv shalvo biliboy. The tranquility in your heart is what gives you the mida of simcha. If you think simcha comes from things that you're going to have or situations that you're going to be in, if I finally get to that and this and there, then I'll be happy. You'll never acquire the mida of simcha. Simcha hamida hazois bo la'odam machmas roiv shalva biliboy. It's all about where your heart lies. Are you ready to make a decision on happiness? You know, I once read the report. World Happiness Report. There's a survey. I don't know who does this and all that, but they survey all globally, all the countries, of the level of people's happiness. To my surprise and your surprise, America, with all the luxuries and all the advancement in comforts of life and all the fun and entertainment and everything that America offers, with the wealth and everything that people experience, America did not rank one of the top 20 countries of the world globally for being the happiest nation. And you wonder, how could that be? Americans have everything they want and everything they need. This is a democratic country with all the liberal views. I mean, happiness should be in the air. We should breathe happiness, and it's not like that. But even more important, in this study, what it says was, young Americans, people under 30, reported significantly lower life satisfaction and happiness than older people. Which means in the survey in America itself, the younger Americans who are under 30 were even less happy and satisfied than others. Now what's shot in that? How do you understand this? You think they have a harder life, the people under 30? You think their circumstance is worse than others? You're an absolute fool if you think so. Nothing less than that. Foolish. Of course not. So why is this the fact that in their survey, under 30 was less happy than even the older people here in America? It's very simple. Like we just said from the Pasuk of David HaMelech, and like we just said from the Archis Tzadikim, where does your heart lie? That determines your happiness. The younger Americans, people under 30, their entire life, their whole heart lies in the fun and enjoyment and living up of life. So naturally, there's no end to that. And that's why the survey came back that they had a significant lower life satisfaction and happiness. Because if you're running after all the fun and enjoyment of this world, there's no end. And the sum result, the total, sum total, is unhappiness. Of course, a lack of satisfaction. Yesh l'cha mala reitza b'sayim. There's no end. There's always more I want and I don't have it. The people that are older, above 30 here in America, they begin to realize there's more to life than just fun and enjoyment and living up this world. Don't worry, even the goyim, as much as they might understand a little more than the younger Americans, I'm not telling you the goyim are happy here in America. They didn't rank part of the top 20 countries. But us as a yid, we have to take the message for ourselves. We who understand much deeper, we know this world is temporary. We understand there's eternal life. For us to make that decision on happiness is so much simpler. For a yid to have a happy life, and especially when you have Torah mitzvahs as a yid, for sure the decision of happiness is quite simple. No one's saying that tragic things don't happen, things don't go your way at times, things of sadness and failure don't occur. Of course, there are happenings and ups and downs in life. However, if you make that decision on happiness, you can replace a sad thought with a happy thought. You can get through the situation. You can exchange a depressed thought with enthusiastic thoughts. You use your power of machshava, which you have bechira on, to decide, and you learn how to keep yourself, because you decided and you made a decision on simcha, on happiness, you keep your simcha going. You get past things that are depressing. You get past things that might make you sad. This may be a big chiddush and news to you, but this is the reality. Happiness is a decision. The reality is, you're the only one that's responsible and in control of your happiness. And it's something we have to internalize and get it through our heads. Happiness is not going to come from what you're going to get one day or be one day somewhere. If you're waiting for that, Rachmana Litzlan, you'll never be happy in your life. So this is the answer to the questions that we began with. If you want to understand, Vayehi Yom Kimis Oinanim, Rab Ozne Hashem, Vayishma Hashem, Vayichar Apoy. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam got angry at Klal Yisrael for being complainers. And we were asking, what'd they do wrong? They have valid concern. It valid tainus. Why is Hashem getting upset? Why did it cause a magefa? Vativabom Eish Hashem. And we were asking, what does the Ramban mean? Shahoyo Lohem Alechas Achra Besimcha V'tuv Leva Meroiv Kol Toiv Asher Nasa Lohem. They should have went along with joy with all the good that they do have. But how does one thing cancel out the next? And the third question we're asking also, the Rambam. What does it mean? It's Avoida G'dayla to have Simcha? It's work? It's a job? But the answer is this Yisoid. Simcha is a decision that you make. Happiness in life is a decision that you make. It's something that you have to intellectually understand and value it and realize your happiness will never come from anything you'll ever get or will ever be. Happiness is internal, it's from inside. And it's a decision you have to make. And that's what David HaMelech was saying, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi sabid, and therefore l'chein samach libi. If I place Hashem and put everything in perspective, I could decide on simcha. I can make that decision of happiness. And this is why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was so upset at Klal Yisrael. What are you complaining about? You have so much to be happy about. And therefore, becoming misayinim, by Yichar Apa, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was very mad. There's no room to become misayinim. There's a Meiridika story of Rabbi Yashiv's father-in-law, Rabbi Aryeh Levine. He lived in Yerushalayim in a very small apartment. It was one long, narrow, arch-shaped room where there was a partition between his bed and his table, and another partition that was made that divided his kitchen that had a small little stove and his sink and shower. This was his bedroom. This is his whole apartment. He once got interviewed in his home, and the interviewer asked him, tell me, are you comfortable here? Aren't things a little tight? And what about your bed? Isn't it very hard? And look at that closet door. It doesn't really even open. And how do you have any space for anything? Rabbi Aryeh Levine placed his hand on the interviewer's shoulder and said, let me explain you something. Years ago, my wife and I agreed that we're going to make do
with our modest means that we have. And look how it turned out, Baruch Hashem. I don't lack anything. In fact, I live in luxury. The ceiling is higher than me. When I come in, I don't have to bend my head. I don't have to run to another room to get anything because everything's right here, close by. And I have water, electricity. I literally live as a king. This is what Ari Levine said about his small, tiny apartment that he lived his whole life in. Now tell me, is he not happier and richer than Elon Musk? You have a Shiloh in your brain? Who's happier? Simcha is a decision. It's literally, happiness is a decision that you have to make. And it's something that takes time for us to think about, because in our young minds and young brains, we really think that what we have and we will be and all the other details of our life is going to determine our happiness. And there's no bigger lie than that. The danger of not choosing and making a decision on happiness is very, very tragic. Because naturally, if you don't have that decision of happiness in your life, then you end up becoming a misaynin. You become a complainer. Rabbeinu Yoina in Sefer Shari Tshuva, at the end of Shar Gimel, he writes, Omru Rabbi Seinu, Chazal tell us, Knesses Yisrael b'koylo ahuva uv'koylo sinua. Klal Yisrael, with their sound of their voice, they could be beloved to Hashem or hated by Hashem. B'koylo ahuva, they could be beloved with their voice, like it says in the pasuk, Hashmini es koylech ki koylech arev. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is so sweet, Hashem says. B'koylo sanua, they can be hated by their voice. Like the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Nosno alai b'koylo, I hear their voice. Al kein sinei siya, I hate them. Zok Rabbeinu Yoina, this is what it means in the pasuk, Moves v'chayim b'yah haloshim. Death and life is all in your mouth. And Rabbeinu Yoina goes on and says there's six chalokim to people that speak Lashon Hara. Now you think Lashon Hara means, like we call Lashon Hara, gossip. He's using the terminology, Lashon Hara means a bad tongue. There are six groups of people that speak with a bad tongue, the Lashon Hara, bad tongue. And with their bad tongue, their voice, their koyla, makes Hashem hate them. Zok Rabbeinu Yoina, what's the sixth example of this? Says Rabbeinu Yoina, chelek hashishi hanirgun, people that are complainers. There's a nature of people that they always complain. They become misayinim. They're very... Amar Shmoyma, Shlomo Melech said in Mishlei, Divrei Nirgun, the words of a complainer, Kimislamim Vehim Yordu Chadrei Boten. What does that mean? Pirush. Hanirgun, Hua Ish Ashadarkoi Vichukoi Lisainin Lusroim. Someone who has his nature, and he's always complaining. No matter where you are, at what stage you're going to be in life, if you never decided and made a decision on happiness, you should know the other side of the coin is that you're going to be a complainer. And there'll always be what to complain about. Yimtze tenuos achaveiro tamid. You'll always find something to complain about your friend or situations that you're in. There's no point in life that you won't find something to complain about. And he goes on by Richus. I see we're running out of time. But the point being, I just want to tell you, literally, a bacher told me, And this was a very serious conversation. You know, Bochum come for Bechilas. Should I hide all the problems, or should I tell the Bach of the problems? I said, what do you mean? What problems would you possibly hide? What does that mean? She says, you know, Bachim complain about a lot of different things that go on in yeshiva. I said, really, what are they complaining about? She says, well, a lot of Bachim complain that the hallway lights go off at 12 o'clock and only the emergency lights on. I said, what's it to complain about? So obviously, you don't want so much light coming in from the hallway. You have to go to sleep. And there is light to walk through the hallways. Like, what's there to complain about? Oh, a lot of Bachim complain there's only 3 showers downstairs. You got to go upstairs for the extra showers. I said, so what's it to complain about? Big deal. So you walk a few steps and go to another shower. And he started going on one after the next of what people could complain about. And in my mind, I realized this is exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. If you're a complainer, you'll always find something to complain about. As ridiculous and foolish as it sounds like, you'll find something to kvetch about. You'll be a misoinin. And you don't realize that's what the parsha's bringing out. Vayishma Hashem vayichar apoy. Your Rebbeinu Shlom hates you. You're saying silly, stupid things and complaining about nothingness. And even Klal Yisrael, where they found something to complain about, they're in a desert. And your Rebbeinu Shlom was mad at them. The nature of being a complainer is hated by Hashem. If you don't decide happiness, you will be a complainer. It's one or the other. Happy people don't complain. And people that are complaining never decide on happiness. And they'll never be happy in their life. So how do you make a decision? Once you value the idea of being happy, how do you make a decision? What do you do in order to start developing your happiness? So one simple thing that's brought down in many svarim is, mamash like you see in this Ramban on the Parsha, look at something that you have as a gift from Hashem and be thankful to Hashem for that gift. Everybody has millions of gifts from Hashem. No matter how difficult and how much pain and suffering a person may chas v'shalom have in his life, accompanied by that are millions of gifts that Hashem gives you. Your health and every part and faculty of your body and everything else that you have, there's no end to the millions of gifts that Hashem gives every individual. Take one thing and sincerely thank Hashem for it. Really feel sincere appreciation. If you really thank Him, you'll walk away from that experience with an inner simcha. And you'll start, like the Ramban says, you'll be Hayolam Lechas Achra Besimcha V'tuv Leiva Be'roiv Kol Toiv Asher Nasan Lahem. You'll end up walking around Besimcha because you are looking at all the good things you have in life, all the great gifts that Hashem is giving you. You know, I once saw a saying, a Moyridika saying, it's not happy people that are thankful. It's the thankful people that are happy. We all think that if I would get everything I need and I become happy, then I'll become thankful. As long as I'm missing stuff, how can I really be thankful to Hashem? And it's really not like that. It's not the happy people that are thankful. It's the thankful people that are happy. I want to share with you a Meritika story that could really help us internalize simcha, to make that decision on happiness. There was a Yid, let's call him Reuven, that was having a lot of difficulties in his life. Parnosa, family, children, everything was very hard by him. It's a true story. He went to his Rav to go ask him for Eitzah. This happened many, many years ago. So, it was a cold winter. He knocked on the Rav's door. And the Rav opened the door and he saw Reuven standing there. And he looked like a wreck from all his problems. So the Rav invited him in and said, please sit down, let me get you a hot tea. No, you know, you don't want the Rav to matriach himself. No, let me bring you a hot tea. The Rav brings him a hot tea and he says, Macha brocha, make a brocha. So he makes a brocha and he starts sipping on his tea. He's there 10 minutes, he's sipping on his tea, really enjoying it. He finishes his tea and he looks like he's ready to get up and leave. So the Rav says to him, what'd you come for? So he said, oh, don't worry, I had a question and the Rav answered it. So the Rav looks at him and says, you had a question and you didn't ask any question, I didn't answer any question. He said, no, the Rav already gave me his answer. He said, could you please tell me what was the question and what answer did you hear? So he started telling the Rav all his problems and all his difficulties and challenges and pain and suffering and how life just doesn't seem fair. Well, so what was the answer? And then the Rav came and gave me a tea. And I was planning to make a bracha. Obviously, I make brachas. And the Rav said, make a bracha. So with a lot of kavanah, usually you know the way I make a bracha. You know, we swallow the words, we don't even think about what we're saying. But the Rav said, make a bracha. So I said, Baruch Atah, you are the source of all bracha. You're Elokeinu, my God, which means every Yid. You're our personal God, who's Melech HaOlam, the King of the whole world. Means you control every atom and molecule and everything perfect with design that goes on in this world. Shakol Nihya Bidvaroi. And everything is exactly with your word. I was sipping my tea thinking about these words of the bracha that I made the last 10 minutes. And I really feel all better. I really feel the perfect design, how the Rabbeinu Shalom does everything with the perfect orchestration. Hakol Nihya Bidvaroi, he's Melech HaOlam. He's in control of it all, and he can give me anything, and this is what he did. I just feel all better. And the Rav, who heard this from the Yid, was so moved. He said, you know, you just taught me something. You know, I always made a shahakol, but now you taught me what a shahakol Nihya Bidvaroi really is. I pushed to feel hakaras hatoif to you. Let me tell you a story. So the Rav said, I want to share with you a Moridika story. There was once, the Rav said, two Yidden that were very close, good friends, and they were in business together. And they used to do a lot of travel in their business. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven and Shimon used to travel together. So one day they were going together to take that trip, and it was going to be a long trip, so they both prepared lunch. So Reuven took along, he had three bilkulach that he took along with him, three rolls. And Shimon also prepared lunch, he took along two rolls. And they went together on that trip. As they're traveling, they see someone, a Yid on the side of the road. It looked like he needed a hitch, even in those days. So they pulled up with the wagon and the horses, and they invited him on. So he hopped on a ride, and he started traveling with them. A few hours pass, and Reuven whispers to Shimon, you know, it's already lunchtime. Maybe we should share our lunch and offer him if he needs lunch. I'm sure this Yid needs lunch. And they agreed. And they asked the man if he's hungry, if he wants lunch. He said, yeah. So they pull over the side of the road, and all of them three sit down, and they enjoy the lunch together. Get back onto the horse and wagon, and they keep traveling. As they're passing by, an hour later, a city, this Yid has to get off, this is where I have to go, and he pulls out from his pocket 5 gold coins. And he gives them, thank you. No, it's fine, it's chesed. No, money's not a big thing by me. Please, take the 5 gold coins. Fine. They take the money. As they start traveling, Reuven turns to Shimon and says, you understand, 3 coins go to me, because I had 3 rolls. 2 coins go to you, because you had 2 rolls. And Shimon says, not at all, he said. You don't understand, we sat down for lunch together, and we shared our lunch with him, and we filled up together, hit this guy's stomach. Half of the stomach I filled up, half the stomach you filled up. So 2.5 coins to me, and 2.5 coins to you. And they start going back and forth, having a fight.
And they realize, you know, we're not going to fight over money. Come on, we're good friends. We're going to lose our friendship over money. And they say, you know what? The town that we're coming to now, there's a shofet there. Let's go to the shofet, the judge, and ask him what he thinks. So they go into the shofet, and they present their case. It's a very busy matzah by the shofet. There's case after case. And he doesn't have too much patience for them. Come on, get to the point already. Tell them the whole story. And they're only fighting over half a coin here. I'm saying 2.5 or 3. And no, let's go. And they say this whole story. Okay, you gave 3 rolls, you got 4 coins. You who had 2 rolls, you got 1 coin. And the guy looks at him, what are you talking about? I don't have time to explain. Out, next. And they walk out of the judge. And then Mama Shimon's even more upset than before. All he gets is 1 coin. He thought he's getting 2.5 coins at least. Now he's really upset. But he said, what do you mean Ruve says to him? What do you mean? Didn't you say we're going to accept whatever the shofet says? We're not going to fight over money? So he said, yeah, you did say that. Okay, you're right, but I have a shayla on Hashem. How can Hashem do this to me? I don't understand. We did a chesed together, and Hashem is giving me such hardship and pain and suffering. This doesn't make any sense. It's a shayla on Hashkafa. So Ruvain says to him, you know what? In this town, I know that Eben Ezra lives over here. Let's go to the Eben Ezra and discuss it with him. So they go to the Eben Ezra, and they come into his house, and they explain to him the whole shayla. Tell him the whole long story, and how they went to the shofet, all the whole arichas. So the Eben Ezra looks at them and says, I don't understand what's bothering you. I almost don't understand what's bothering you. It's very simple. You guys all sat down to lunch together. He had 3 rolls, you had 2 rolls. So 5 rolls altogether, and 3 people are enjoying it. So make believe you're cutting up every roll into 3 parts. So you have 5 rolls, you cut them in 3 parts, you have 15 rolls. 15 rolls. Each guy, 3 people, each one's eating 5 rolls. Each one's eating 5 pieces. 5 pieces per person. So you, Shimon, you gave 2 rolls. 2 rolls means you gave only 6 pieces. 6 pieces, you ate 5 of them, you gave him 1. The other guy, you had 3 rolls. That's 9 pieces. So you ate up 5, you had 4 extra. So you get 4 coins, he gets 1 coin. What's the big deal? Said to Eben Ezra, if you can't even understand the ways of people, calculations of people you don't understand, how do you expect to ask about calculations of Hashem? And Zaktan Rav, who said over the story to the Yid sitting there, and this you just taught me is all in the bracha of Shakol Niyabidvar. You just taught me a Meiridika lesson. Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam, the king of the whole world. Shakol Niyabidvar. Everything is perfect calculation. If we can't even understand people at times, for sure we can't understand Hashem. And this was the Meiridika lesson he walked away with this bracha of Shakol, which we say it so many times in a day. We have 100 brachas a day. How many times we say Shahakal? We have to constantly give ourselves that chizuk. And if when we decide simcha, we make that decision on happiness, Shahakal niya bidvar is going to be a bracha that will really help you maintain that simcha throughout your day. Because you constantly get reminded that everything is in perfect design by the master plan of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Rebbeinu Shem shall help us all, that we should work on this midah of simcha, and never chas v'shalom fall into the klal of being a misoinim, complainers. And with that, Be'ezer Hashem, living a life of simcha brings us tremendous bracha and atzlacha.